Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I would guess that most of us, when we hear that something is free, we almost routinely assume, well, it can't be worth very much. After all, we live in a society that readily believes you get what you pay for. There are no free rides. You know, all those wonderful discounts and the bonus options that are offered when you buy a new car, well, you just got to know they're buried somewhere in the price. Should any promised freebie actually be worth something, well, then we're inclined to ask, so where's the catch? There has to be a catch hidden somewhere in the fine print. Overall, we're skeptical by nature. When something's too good to be true, it's likely not true. For these reasons and others, Jesus' words in this morning's gospel can be a bit of a challenge to appreciate. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps us to see past the limiting assumptions of this world, so that we recognize our slavery to sin, and that we are led to thank God for the freedom we've been given in Jesus, acknowledging it is nothing we could ever accomplish on our own. We can't work ourselves out of the problem of our sin and eventually free ourselves from its consequences and punishment. We are set free by God's grace alone in Jesus Christ. God keep our land glorious and free, goes a line from our national anthem. It's one that may help us appreciate why Jesus' audience reacted the way they did on that day long ago. How could they be set free when they were not, at least to their own way of thinking, captives of anyone or anything? It's a question that might easily come to our minds as well, because we usually don't define freedom with any kind of connection to sin. We often see it as meaning not much more than living in a land where we happen to enjoy rights and privileges that many other people on this planet do not. We are free already. Sometimes we may think of freedom in terms of material things, you know, like the freedom to buy whatever we can afford and then to charge the rest, although that's a potentially dangerous freedom. We may see freedom in terms of relationships sometimes, where commitment to others comes second to our personal wishes and perceived needs. And sometimes we may see freedom in terms of life and time. It's my life and I'll do what I want when I want. I'm free. Isn't that what retirement is all about? I guess I'll know soon enough. Around us, society only encourages us to continue thinking about freedom in those kinds of ways. You know, there's a lot of emphasis placed on one's personal rights and freedoms, though sadly too often at the neglect of personal responsibility, as well as any responsibility toward others. People are free to believe whatever they want. This may be most certainly true, but that doesn't mean what people believe is always right. Nor are they free actually to do whatever they want. Through the ages, humanity's slavery to sin has continued to kind of fog our vision, hampering our understanding of our need to be set free, and how that can only happen through Jesus Christ. And hence his talk of the truth of slavery and freedom may seem a little confusing. Somehow, you know, just not quite applying to us. Unwittingly, we can be like the Pharisee of last week's gospel, who arrogantly stood in his pride, failing to recognize that he too, like the tax collector, was every bit a sinner before God. We aren't comfortable with the thought that we could be slaves to sin. Surely not us. We were baptized, though we fail so often to realize God is the one acting in baptism. We sat through confirmation classes for hours, and some of them were not very exciting. We memorized stuff. We've attended church and even volunteered. We taught Sunday school. We've helped out with potlucks. I have to warn you, though, eating doesn't count. We've signed up for work bees and served on boards and committees. We know we're not perfect, but being a slave to sin, well, that seems just a little strong. But is it? Gratefully, this morning, most of the people sitting around us, if not all of them, don't know much about our repeated sins. We've never shared with them our deepest, darker inner thoughts, and we're not inclined to do so. They don't know the resentment we may be holding against another, the jealousy we feel when others get recognition but we don't, the things we've actually said and done to deliberately hurt others, the lust we may have nursed in our hearts, the judgment we so readily make about other people, their faith, their lives, their education, their family. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that our record looks pretty dismal before the Lord, who calls for perfection, not just something that's close or mostly good. We'd soon realize, too, that no matter how many times we have promised the Lord and ourselves to be different, to try harder, to be more loving, more forgiving, more generous, still we keep slipping and failing. And you know, sometimes that can feel or seem like a big, deep black hole from which no matter how hard we try, we simply can't escape. When we dare to be honest, brutally honest with ourselves and the Lord, we have to agree that, with what Jesus said, we're slaves to sin, continually drawn to it, day in and day out. It is there in our thoughts, our words, our actions, in our reluctance to help others that we don't consider worthy, in the confidence we so foolish and easily place in our own accomplishments. There is only one solution to such slavery. Someone has to pay to set you free. On the steps of the old courthouse in St. Louis, some years ago, it's been removed since, on those steps there used to be a ring that was anchored into the steps to which slaves were chained. And as late as 1857, were still sold there on New Year's Day. But the person that paid for those slaves didn't set them free. They set them to work. Jesus paid to set us free. He kept the law perfectly, not in part, not nearly, but perfectly. Something that we cannot do by our own reason or strength. On trial for your sins and mine, he was found guilty by the evidence of our lives. He accepted the verdict of heaven's judge and was sentenced to death, a death he willingly died so that we might be spared, set free to live. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Such freedom is certainly not based on what we have done, as we so clearly heard in the reading from Romans 3. It is neither offered to us because of what good we may think we have done, nor is it denied to us because of the evil we have done or the good we have failed to do. It is free by God's grace and is received through faith in Jesus. The slate is clean. Our guilt is washed away by the blood of the Lamb. That's God's promise today and through all of our tomorrows. And He keeps His word. So you can buy a car, a new bed, most furniture, computers, or other electronics, and make no payments for 3 months or more, interest-free, you know you still have to pay for it in the end. And I suspect the company will somehow recover even that lost interest. With the Lord, there's no fine print. There's no hidden payment schedule. There are no penalties. By His grace alone, through faith in Jesus, we are freed. Freed from the continual accusations of Satan, freed from the nagging of our conscience and guilt, freed from the world's statements against us. Oh, it cost, and it cost a lot. Only you or I didn't make a single payment. Jesus, as the song says, Jesus paid it all. For all of this, it is our privilege to serve Him in gratitude, dwelling in His word, drawing strength from Him as we struggle to love the rich and the poor, the educated and those who are not, the unattractive and the beautiful, the young and the old, to love as He has loved us, continually returning to the feast of His table, and there to be assured our sins are forgiven. In life, one's actions can be motivated by a desire to get something, or they can be done in response to what another has done for us. To say thank you without any prompting from mama, dad, or grandma or grandpa. Our response to this amazing grace of God is one of thanksgiving, not repayment. It is one of grateful service, of sharing this incredible good news with all who as yet don't know such truth, who struggle with the burden of guilt and who, striving to do the impossible, are so often wearied and brought down by repeated failure. This is the truth that frees us, and in such Christ-found freedom, we are privileged to continue in His word, to reflect on it, to hear it, to study it, to let it guide our words, thoughts, and actions, and to know its comfort when we fail, as we do and will. But fear not, for when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep us firm and free in this love of Jesus Christ from now until life everlasting. Amen.